I'd like for you to walk with me. Yes, ma'am. RSV. Yeah, RSV. All right. It made me think of, Lord, pray for my mind. It made me think of Aretha Franklin. R-E-S-P-E-C-T. Amen. I keep telling y'all to pray for me. Amen. But let me draw your attention back to the scripture. St. John chapter 12. St. John chapter 12. Church is not the place where fun goes to die. You can have fun in church. Amen. I learned that a while back. Amen. We ain't got to be sour and lemony. All right. Even God laughs. It's in the scripture. All right. Here we go. St. John chapter number 12. And I'll begin at verse number 9, but I want to kind of do a lead-in to a familiar occurrence in scripture. We know that Jesus loved Mary, Martha, and their brother Lazarus. We know that he loved them. We know that they told him at one particular time that Lazarus was dead, and he said in one place, Lazarus is dead, and I'm glad. You know, I'm glad that I wasn't there, so that when God's power is demonstrated, you'll all believe. And we know the results, that he went to the tomb where Lazarus was, and Lazarus's sister met him, and she was heartbroken, as we often are when we lose a loved one. And she said, Lord, if you'd have been here, my brother wouldn't have died. And Jesus, in his conversation of compassion with her, said, your brother's going to rise again. Your brother's going to rise again. And I think it was Martha said, yeah, Lord, I know he's going to rise again in the resurrection. I know that. It was like a duh, you know, I know he's going to rise again in the resurrection. But she didn't realize that she was actually talking to the resurrection and the life. That's what Jesus told her. He said, I am the resurrection and the life. So we know what happened at that event, that Jesus called Lazarus by name and told him to come forth. And he who had been dead for 4 days, he who had the aroma of a four-day dead body, in fact, he was stinking. When he heard the voice of Jesus, he got up. When he heard the voice of Jesus, that one who was dead, can you imagine the powerful voice of Jesus? Huh? He called Lazarus by name and said, come forth. And that's exactly what he did. He came up out of that tomb, and he was bound in grave clothes. He was bound, and he smelt like death. And Jesus commanded, loose him and let him go. And they received their dear brother back to life. What a great thing. What a phenomenal thing. Imagine those who were there to witness that. They were probably at a loss for words because they knew that Lazarus was dead. And I would imagine, and scripture helps us in our imagining, that the news spread that this Jesus done raised somebody from the dead. So here we are in John, the Gospel of John, chapter number 12, beginning at verse 9. I have the Amplified Classic Version. This is what it says. Now a great crowd of the Jews heard that he was at Bethany, talking about Jesus. And they came there, not only because of Jesus, but that they also might see Lazarus, whom he had raised from the dead. Verse 10 says, so the chief priests, plural, planned to put Lazarus to death also. Verse 11, because on account of him, many of the Jews were going away. They were withdrawing from and leaving the Judeans and believing in and adhering to Jesus. Lazarus was a real problem for the Jews because many who were following the Jewish tradition, when they saw the evidence that Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead, then they left from following their religious tradition and started to believe and adhere, that means obey, Jesus. So that was a problem for the Jews. They wanted not only to see Jesus, but they wanted to kill Lazarus. They wanted him to die again, if you will. They wanted to kill Lazarus. The thought that hit my mind as I was looking at this was, or is, the Lazarus effect. The Lazarus effect. A resurrected life has an impact on others. A resurrected life. Here they know this man was dead. Here they know the condition of his body began again to stink. And here Jesus resurrects him and calls him out. So we have to look again at what happened. John in the 11th chapter, just want to look there briefly, that describes the event. When he had said this, he shouted with a loud voice, talking about Jesus now, he shouted with a loud voice, Lazarus, come out. And he walked out, and out walked the man who had been dead, his hands and feet wrapped in burial cloths, linen strips, and with a burial napkin bound around his face. Jesus said to them, free him of the burial wrappings and let him go. A resurrected life again has an impact on others. The Lazarus effect. I wonder how many of us has an effect like Lazarus. I wonder how many of us who realize and understand, according to the scriptures, that we were born in sin, we were shapen in iniquity, we were dead, in fact, in our trespasses and in our sins. We were actually dead people walking around. We were actually the people who were the candidates for the wrath of God in our condition before we received, before we believed the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ and obeyed the calling of God unto salvation. We were dead. And I'm thankful to the Lord that God has the power to talk to dead folk. I'm thankful to the Lord that the voice of God can penetrate even the deadness of an individual's life. I am so thankful to God that while we were his enemies, Christ died for us. And I have several questions about me and about us. What type of impact am I having on those that are around me? Can people see the resurrected life of Jesus Christ portrayed in our life? Can they see the power of God manifested in our life? Not in a braggadocious or arrogant way, but can they see the humility of God? Can they see the compassion of God? Can they see the love and the mercy of God in our day-to-day interactions? Because I believe the Bible says in one place that we are ambassadors of Jesus Christ. So when they look at those of us who profess the name of Jesus, those of us who are born again of the water and of the Spirit, do they really see Jesus or do they see us? I want to have the effect on others that Lazarus had. I want to be a real problem for the devil. These folks they went to Bethany because they was going to kill Lazarus. Huh? Is our life a real problem for the devil? Is it? Or, oh Lord, help me here. Or when the devil and his minions see us coming, do they say, well, don't worry about him. Don't worry about her. But I want to be a real problem for the devil. How about you? Well, here's something, whether you want to be or not, since you're saved, you already a real problem for them. So you might as well own up to the fact, that he is the enemy of your soul. See, the devil don't care about who he really got. But once you make up in your mind, that you're going to believe Jesus Christ, once you make up in your mind that you're going to surrender all, then you get on the devil's hit list. And he's out to get you. But listen, he may be out to get you, but we have the word of God that already has told us that no weapon that's formed against us shall prosper. Listen, he might be out to get you, but I hear the Bible say that greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. So we have to build ourselves up in our most precious holy faith and realize that, yes, we are in a fight. And we don't back down from the devil. The Bible says we resist him and he'll flee from us. So we don't need no Nikes or Adidas to run from the devil. We got to stand fast in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free and be not entangled again in the yoke of bondage. Stay away from the dead things. Stay away from the dead things. We shouldn't be looking like death anymore. We shouldn't be acting like death anymore. We shouldn't be smelling like death anymore. Because just like Jesus called to Lazarus, he called us to salvation. And I put in my notes here, the Lord is calling someone out from death to life. He's calling somebody here. You thought you came here just for family and friends day, but listen, Jesus wants you to know this morning that he's calling you out from death. He's calling you out from death. You've been hanging around death too long. You and death got real chummy. You've been hanging around and you've been comfortable in those dead things. But I hear the Bible say, Jesus said, I come that you might have life and that you might have it to the full. You think you're doing all right. You might be stacking your chips and different kind of things. But what will a man give in exchange for a soul? You can't put your money up for your soul. Your money can't buy you into eternity. Romans chapter number 5. I'm moving. Romans chapter number 5 and verse number 12. It says here, just in case you think that you ain't dead, it says, therefore, as sin came into the world through one man, and death as the result of sin, so death spread to all men. You see that? No one being able to stop it or escape its power, because all men sin. So you that ain't me. Yeah, that's you. If you were born naturally, as far as I can know, there was only one immaculate conception, and that wasn't you. And when Adam sinned, that sin nature was passed down to all mankind, all human beings. So this is why Jesus said, verily I say unto you, you must be born again of the water and of the Spirit. Your good deeds, all the things you do for humanity, if you are a philanthropist, yes, that's well and good, and we need those things in our society and in our culture, but you're still dead if you haven't been born again of the water and of the Spirit. Yes, there are nice things, but the greatest things that you can do is move from the category of dead in your trespasses and sins and receive the eternal life that you can only receive from Jesus Christ. The Lord is calling someone this morning out from death to life. And what's going to be your response? John chapter number 5 and verse 24. Here Jesus is speaking here. He says, I assure you, most solemnly I tell you, the person whose ears are open to my words, who listens to my message and believes and trusts in and clings to and relies on him who sent me, possesses now eternal life, and he does not come into judgment, does not incur sentence of judgment, will not come under condemnation, but he has already passed over out of death to life. I got to go back and unpack that just for a little bit. He's not talking about you hearing with your audible ears, like all of us are hearing the sound of my voice. He's talking about you hearing with your heart. He's talking about the person who hears his voice, who hears the call of Jesus Christ, who hears God and feel God's wooing at your heart. And when you hear God and when you hear his word, when he's telling you that he's not willing that anyone should perish, but that all come to repentance, when you hear, this is not the first time you heard a gospel message with your audible ears, but I believe God is calling, he's trying to pinpoint on somebody's heart this morning. He wants you to hear with your heart. He wants you to listen intently and listen with a mind and a heart to obey. Listen, some people may be in the category of grace abusers because you've been living a long time the way you want to live. You've been calling your own shots, or so you think you've been calling your own shots, and it's only because of God's grace and it's only because of God's mercy that you are yet breathing with the breath that God is giving you. One breath at a time. But God wants somebody this morning to listen. Open up your heart and listen with your heart and believe that Jesus still saves, and believe that God can forgive you of everything that you have ever done. Listen, you might have a circle of influence, but God wants to change your circle of influence, or even impact your circle of influence. Once you have a born again experience, God just might send you back to your homeboys. He just might send you to your road dogs, if you will. He might send you back to your ride or die folks, and just let them see the change that God can make and has made in your life. Listen, God wants somebody's life to be a testimony. God wants you to be able to say, like the man who was healed from blindness, all I know is I was blind, but now I see. All I know is that I was on my way to a devil's hell. I was doing everything that I was big and bad enough to do. And God put up with my foolishness for over 25 years. But when I heard the gospel of Jesus Christ, I'm so glad that God gave me a moment. Aren't you glad God gave you a moment of spiritual sanity in the midst of all that sin that we were involved in? God gave us a moment of spiritual clarity and let us know, I need to stop. God arrested my thoughts. He arrested my actions. And he took hold of my mind. And he said, listen, you've been running for far too long. Somebody in this building and somebody out there, you've been running for far too long. And God is calling you. He's just using me to get your attention. Listen, God is sending somebody a Holy Ghost Amber Alert, and God saying, you ain't got as much time as you think. You think you got strength in your body. Don't you realize that your strength, it comes from God? And God is saying to somebody, listen, I came to get you the plan of salvation. I came that you might have life. I want to use your life. Yeah, you got a reputation in the hood of being bad. You got a reputation in the hood of taking care of your business. But God wants to change your hood reputation into a heaven reputation. God, he wants to bless you with salvation so that you can go back to your homeboys and let them know there is a better way. I found somebody that the high I used to get on drugs. Nobody can deal with the high of the Holy Ghost. I found somebody. I ain't got to sling no more rocks because I got the real rock. And that rock is Jesus. Oh, glory. God, he can build a testimony out of your life. Yes, your life might be a mess. And if you keep on, you're going to get into more mess. But God is a great God. He can change your mess into a message. I hear God say in Psalms 107 and around verse number 2, let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom the Lord has redeemed from the hand of the enemy. I wonder this morning, any redeemed folks in here, you ought to say so. Any folks who were dead in their sins, aren't you glad that you heard the voice of Jesus say, come out, you can't hide no longer. We were dead in our sins, and God, he called us out. He called us unto salvation. He called us unto himself, and let us know that he wanted our soul. The Bible said God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish. God don't want you to die and be eternally separated from him, but he wants you to have eternal life. He did everything possible for you to obtain eternal life, but you're sitting there in your mind with your hands folded. Nah, I ain't gonna do that. I'm gonna look like I'm weak. Listen, it just makes good sense to give your life to God. That's when you're gonna be strong for real. I hear the Bible say, believe me, here's Jesus talking, when I assure you, most solemnly I tell you, the time is coming, watch this, and is here now. When the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear shall live. Let me be a spiritual undertaker right now. I gotta walk this aisle. There might be some dead folks in this section, and God is calling you out right now. And if you hear his voice and obey his voice, you can move from dead to life. Maybe there might be some dead folks here in this section. God said the time is coming, and it's here now, when the dead will hear God's voice and they will live. Maybe there's a dead pope. Oh, wait a minute. I'm getting an aroma of death. Oh, glory. Hallelujah. God said, you've been sitting in that death seat for far too long. Hear the voice of God with your heart and let him flood your soul. Oh, glory, with the Holy Ghost. Maybe there's a death smell in this area. God said hit every area because death lingers. God said if you'll hear his voice, you'll live. God wants you to live. He wants you to live. He wants you to live. Don't worry. I'm vaxxed and double boosted. Don't worry about it. And what I'm preaching will get you vaxxed and boosted to go to heaven. He ain't had no mask on. God wants you to take your death mask off. The Lazarus effect. How powerful a witness could you be if you just surrender to God? The Lazarus effect. I want the Lazarus effect. That's a t-shirt. Yeah, that's a t-shirt, y'all. Huh? Let's get that. The Lazarus effect. And when we wear that, that's a door opener to tell somebody that I was dead in sin and God called me out. I want that shirt. I wear it proudly. Mark that on the tape so can't nobody steal it from us. The Lazarus effect. Oh, let me get Ephesians and I think I'll stop. I'm about wore out, but I'm gonna keep going. Because God is my strength. He'll give it back to me. I'd rather expend myself for God in all them years I expended myself for the devil, was hung over, hung under, wind up in jail cells. Come on, don't get me started. Ephesians 2. Look at this. He's talking to the saints who once was dead but now are alive. He said, and you, he made alive. Any live folks in here? Okay, I'm going to keep pressing with the scripture. Don't want to get in no trouble, no more than I already am. And you, he made alive when you were dead, slain by your trespasses and sins, in which at one time you walked habitually. You had a habit of sinning because that's all you knew. You were born like that. You had a birth defect, and so did we. Huh? We were dead. You were following. See, I like this word, because that's what we used to do. He said, you were following the course and fashion of this world. We're under the sway of the tendency of this present age. Whatever they did, that's what you did. Well, you know what they say. Yeah, you was following what they say. following, watch this now, following the prince of the power of the air, you were obedient to and under the control of the demon spirit that still constantly works in the sons of disobedience, the careless, the rebellious, and the unbelieving who go against the purposes of God. That's what dead people do. Verse 3, among these, watch, we as well as you once lived and conducted ourselves in the passions of our flesh. Our behavior governed by our corrupt and sensual nature, obeying the impulses of the flesh and the thoughts of the mind, our cravings dictated by our senses and our dark imaginings. We were then by nature children of God's wrath and heirs of his indignation like the rest of mankind. That was our condition. I'm so glad that it ain't no more. But God, here it is, verse 4. But God, so rich is he in his mercy because of and in order to satisfy the great and wonderful and intense love with which he loved us. Even, look at this, even when we were dead, slain by our own shortcomings and trespasses, he made us alive together in fellowship and in union with Christ. He made that possible because of Jesus. He gave us the very life of Christ himself, the same new life with which he quickened him. That means with he made him alive. When Jesus got up from the grave, all power, he said, and heaven and earth is given unto me. I love the fact that when Jesus got up, he got up calmly. I love that. When I read the account of the resurrection of Jesus Christ and I read what the scriptures portray about the scene in the tomb. You ever been asleep? Yes. And having a bad dream? And you sit up in the bed, like all of a sudden? Or you ever been asleep and be under the attack of the enemy? And you got to fight. You got to fight. And you be... I remember one time I was under attack, and I was just saying, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. And at one time, I couldn't say it out of my mouth yet. I was thinking it. I kept thinking it until I was able to say it. Yeah, it's a fight. Them Jews wanted to kill Lazarus. The devil wants to kill every child of God that's striving to do what God wants. So there's a fight sometimes, and sometimes the fight intensifies. And sometimes when we're in a situation like that or similar, or just having a bad dream, we wake up, you know, and the covers are like, whoosh. But I like the scene of Jesus' resurrection, the tomb. It said that everything was in its place. The napkin that they wrapped around a dead person's face, it was up there, neat and in order. So Jesus, when he resurrected, he did die. But when he resurrected, he didn't get up in a panic. He got up. Because before he died, he told his accuser face to face, nobody takes my life. I got the power to lay it back down, and I got the power to pick it back up again. He said, I received this commandment from my Father, so do what you're going to do. But when time comes, I'm going to get up. In 3 days. So when it was time for Jesus to get up, he didn't get up in no panic. He got up calmly, if you will, and everything was in place. When look, wait a minute, he didn't get up. The head napkin was there, and everything was in his place because he got up with power. And the Bible is saying that that same power that got Jesus up, God has given it to us. So, we're going to get up calmly. Glory. Hallelujah. We're going to get up calmly. Can you imagine? It blows my mind. The miraculous event of the rapture taking place. It's going to throw folks in a panic. But it's what we've been expecting and anticipating if we believe God's word. So we're going to calmly, when that whatever that cloud that Jesus comes back on, it's going to be big enough for all of us. It's going to be some atmospheric condition that the meteorologist can't describe. It's a strange weather pattern. Yeah, okay. We're going to be gone and leave them to the explanation. All they're going to say was they was right. Amen. Oh, I want the Lazarus effect. Don't you? It was a two-sided effect. It said the high priest, the religious folks wanted to kill him. But there were some Jews that believed. So I want the Lazarus, I want both sides. Well, we gonna get both sides of the Lazarus effect. Some people gonna try to kill your testimony. Some people are gonna try to kill your witness. I remember when she did this, I remember when she did that. So, keep on remembering. But I remember what the Bible said. If I confess my sin, God is faithful and just to forgive me of my sin and cleanse me from all unrighteousness. So why you stumbling over my golden oldies? Yeah, didn't he say he was from Skid Row? Yes. Didn't he say he was a crackhead? Yes. Didn't he say he was an alcoholic? Yes. Didn't he say he was homeless? Yes. Didn't he say he was a felon? Yes. But while you stumbling on my oldies, I got a new playlist for you. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, but he washed it white as snow. So put that on your 8-track, because you're playing the 8-track anyway. Your 8-track is played out. Oh, Lord. I want the Lazarus effect. How about you? I want the Lazarus effect. There's some Lazaruses in here this morning, and God is calling you out from every section in the building. I'm going to look at the clock so you don't think, why are you looking at me? From every section in the building, there's some dead folks walking in here. You might have walked in dead spiritually, but you can walk out with new life. All you got to do is repent. Repent. Have a change of heart, change of mind. Surrender completely, not to your own understanding, because that's what messes us up sometimes. Our own reasoning. Just repent of your sins. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. How you going to think you're going to get to heaven and bypass Jesus' commandment? You must be born again of the water and of the Spirit. You must be. Or else you can't even see the kingdom. Not less enter, you can't even see it. So if you're here this morning, your name might not be Lazarus. It might be something else on your birth certificate, but I'm going to call you Lazarus this morning.